Today, Shares Masechta Menachos Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Gimel on the Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Chayme B'smicha B'tenufa. When we speak about the halacha of smicha that we've been discussing so extensively in our shiurim, that we have to do smicha on certain kabbanis, and we've also been speaking about the requirement to do tenufa on certain kabbanis. And says the Mishnah, Chayme B'smicha B'tenufa. In certain ways, smicha is more severe than tenufa, and in certain ways, tenufa b'smicha, tenufa is more severe than smicha. Shechem l'chol chaverim. If there were a number of people who participated in a carbon, one person does the tenufa on behalf of the entire group. However, ein echad tzaymich l'chol chaverim, one person does not do the smicha on behalf of the entire group. On the other hand, says the Mishnah, Chayma b'tenufa, tenufa carries with it a stringency. Shetenufa nahagis b'kabanas hayachar b'kabanas tzibur. Tenufa is done by kabanas that are private kabanas and sometimes by kabanas that are brought by tzibur. B'chayim b'shrutim. As we've learned in previous shurim, sometimes tenufa is done even on a animal that is alive still, and sometimes the tenufa is done on only the slaughtered parts of the animal. Bedava sheyesh beruach chayim, tenufa is done sometimes from a carbon that's brought from an animal. Bedava sheyesh beruach chayim, and it's also sometimes done for an animal that is not alive. As we learned, certain carbon minchas, the minchas oimer, for example, the Mechasaita, Lachme Taida, are all carbon minchas, but they are all kabanis where smicha tenufa is done. Mashe came to smicha. When we speak about smicha, says the Gemara, there's never a situation where smicha is done on something that is not alive. Begins the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us, it says in the Pasuk regarding smicha, the Samach Yodai Aroish Kabanai. Kabana, we learn from here, Rabbis call Bari le carbon le smicha, that all of the people who are owners of the carbon have to participate in the smicha. Shiyachal, we, says the Gemara, might have made a counter argument. What would be our counter argument? Valoi, tenuf umat tenufa, shnesraps b'shchutim. As we learned that shchuta, tenufa sometimes is done on an animal that was already slaughtered. Nismata b'chayvrim, there's never a din of tenufa that the entire group who's bringing the carbon has to do tenufa. Smicha shloim nisraps b'shchutim. Well, we never do smicha on an animal which is no longer alive. Ain't a din shnismat b'chayvrim. Certainly, there should be no chiv of smicha by a carbon that was brought by a group. Tamalayim karbonai l'rabbis call barrel carbon the smicha, that all the people who are owners of this carbon have to do smicha. So ask the Gemara if that's the case. But this rabbi tenufa b'chayvim kavachaymer, then we should say that when you have a group bringing a carbon, they should certainly still have to do tenufa, because we should say the following kavachaymer or mas smicha. If we speak about smicha shloin esraps b'shchutim, that there is no smicha on an animal which is no longer alive. Nisraps b'chayvrim, a group that's bringing a carbon does smicha tenufish nisrap b'shchutim. Tenufa, which we just finished explaining, sometimes the tenufa is done on an animal which is already slaughtered. Ain't a din shnisrap b'chayvrim. Certainly, shouldn't there be a din that if a group of people brought a carbon together, tenufa should be done by every one of those members? Ask the Gemara. Answers the Gemara. Indeed, maybe logically, we should come to a conclusion that all of the members of the carbon should have to do tenufa. But the Gemara says, Delayefsha, it's not physically possible. Why? Hey Chilefet, what exactly are you proposing? Says the Gemara. Limfa kulabade adadi, they should all do the tenufa at the same time. That isn't possible because Dava chatzitza. It's an issue of a chatzitza. Linfi, v'leda linfi. So you'll suggest that everybody should do tanufa one at a time. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't be an option either, because tanufa amrachmana, the Torah says that one tanufa should be done, v'loy tanufais, and not many tanufas. So here the Gemara differentiated between smicha, where everybody that brought a carbon participated in bringing this carbon does smicha, versus tanufa, which the Gemara is saying you can't have, it doesn't work that everybody should do the tanufa. But the Chazon Yecheskel has a fundamental explanation why is there a difference between tanufa and smicha. It's something that we've been speaking about in our shiurim in this perek quite extensively. Chazon Yecheskel says that the chiv of tanufa is a chiv on the carbon, and the chiv smicha is a chiv on the owner of the carbon. And now, if we have that approach, it starts to come together. If the chiv of smicha comes to a person who's bringing a carbon, so every individual who's involved in bringing the carbon has to do smicha. And the fact that he's part of a group is not going to take away his obligation to do smicha. Whereas tanufa is a chiv on the carbon. And if tanufa is a chiv on the carbon, so if one of them did tanufa, that would be satisfactory. So the Gemara says that to do tanufa where all of them do it together is not an option, because if they're all doing it together, there's going to be chatzitza between the hands of one and the next. So the Rishonim ask a question. We've learned many times when the Gemara identifies the halacha of tanufa, that both the owner and the kohen do tanufa. And how is it that normally explained? That the owner puts his hand, for example, under the chaz v'shoik, and the kohanim, when we're doing tanufa and chaz v'shoik, and the kohanim put their hands under. But why doesn't the Gemara say that should be considered a chatzitza? So Rashi answers that the primary person that has to do tanufa is the owner of the carbon, and his hands are directly under the carbon. The fact that the kohen's hands aren't touching the carbon is not troubling to Rashi, because Rashi says that he's not the main participant in the mitzvah of tanufa. Tosfos explains that the Torah requires that both of them do tanufa, so we can't just say that the kohen is not critical. And therefore, Tosfos explains that way tanufa is done is that tanufa is done that the owner puts his hands on the sides of the chaz v'shoik, and that the kohen puts it on the bottom of the chaz v'shoik, and the kohen puts it on the side. So we've able to do tanufa both ways. Another pshat which the Ritva says is that in a carbon, apparently chaz v'shoik is large enough for both the kohen and the owner to put their hands directly under the chaz v'shoik, and there will be room for both of them without a problem of chatzitza. The Gemara over here has identified a concept of chayvrim. The concept of chayvrim teaches us that a carbon can be brought by a group. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a discussion where there's a shul that needs to have an Aron Kodesh. And there's an individual, apparently a wealthy individual, who's prepared to pay for the entire Aron Kodesh. But there are people in the community that also want to participate in the building of the Aron Kodesh. And the question he discusses, this person is insisting that he wants to do it himself. What should we do? Should we allow him to do the build it himself and we won't have any issue? Or should we agree that we should have to wait until the entire community is able to gather enough money to do the build this Aron Kodesh? And he quotes an Aruch HaShulchan, in Or Chaim Simen Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Yud Ches, that says in the name of the Sefer Chassidim, Yoyse Toiv, it is better Shekal mitzvah tiyasa yidei rabim, that a mitzvah be done by many yidei yochid. By yochid. Shema'akev ein roitz shiyah lacherim chelik b'mitzvah, that the individual who's saying, I want to do this mitzvah by myself, you're onish. He uses a very strong language. He says he will be punished. And that's what we're learning in our shir, that apparently it was common that they brought a carbon, b'chayvrim, that a group of people together brought a carbon. Yes, we're having a discussion. When is that? What is the halacha for smicha? What is the halacha for tenufa? But it doesn't take away that there's a real point in bringing a carbon through a grope. Says, ask the Gemara, the smicha b'shchuta lesson, is that true that we're saying that smicha is never done on an animal that was already slaughtered? For Tanan, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech, the Talmud Daf Lama Gimon Beis teaches us, b'smach ha-kohen gadol roitzel hakter. We know that the avoida in the Beis HaMikdash is typically divided amongst many Kohanim. There's a pious, a gairal, that determines who does what. But there's another halacha, and that is the halacha of Kohen Gadol Noitel Chelek Bereish. The Kohen Gadol could choose to do any avoida that he wants to do. And that's what happened over here, that if the Kohen Gadol wants to be the one to put on the Mizbeach, the Karban Tamid, and the way it was with the Karban Tamid, they cut it up into many pieces, and then they had a whole procedure how those pieces were put on the Mizbeach. So, says the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol want to do this. Hayoyel Bekeves, he would walk up the ramp, the scan, and his assistant Bimin was walking to his right. Higil Machzis Hakeves, once they came halfway up the ramp, Achas Gam Biyaminoi, the scan held on to the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, the Leu, and he helps him walk up because there's a steep incline. Vashalai Rishon, and the, as we just said, the Karban Tamid was divided into 11 pieces, and the scan gives him the first of these 11 pieces, which are the Rosh Regel, the head, and the front leg of the carbon. Simech aleim, the Kohen does smich on them, the Zarkim, and then he throws it onto the Mizbeach. Hoshit Sheni, now the second Kohen, gave to the first Kohen, Shtei Yadayim, the regular is the back leg, I'm sorry, the two forelegs, and Noisel Kohen Gadol. Simech aleim, again, the Kohen Gadol does smicha. Nishman Hasheni v'halachla, now the second Kohen leaves, v'kach, mashitanai, and that was the way they passed to the Kohen Gadol, Shar Kol Evarim, all the limbs and organs of the carbon. Shesem Echaleim, and always the Kohen does smich v'zarkin. It was man, Shuroitza, if the Kohen Gadol prefers, and he doesn't want to have to be the one to throw it up to the Mizbeach, who Semech, he does the smicha, v'chem zarkin, and there are others that do the zrika. But we see here that we have the Evarim of the carbon, obviously not alive, and yet there's smicha. Amrabaya, so why are we saying that there's never smicha on a live animal, on a carbon that's not alive? Says the Gemara, Amrabaya, Hasam Shem Kvayt the Kohen Gadol. There it's a very unique situation. This was a way to show honor to the Kohen Gadol, and that's why it was done that way. But that doesn't mean that it's the way, that doesn't mean that that's the way it normally is, or that there's a halachic requirement here that we do smicha on an animal that's no longer alive. Harloch shtei midas, harloch shtei midas, harloch shtei midas. Says the Mishnah, shtei alechem. As we've discussed many times in our shiurim, on Shavuos they brought the shtei alechem. And once they brought the shtei alechem, as we've discussed many times, on Pesach, on the second day of Pesach, they brought the carbon omer. And from when they bring the carbon omer, they're allowed to eat the chadosh, and then on Shavuos, and the Kohen Gadol is brought from barley, from the new barley that was just cut for that purpose, and on Shavuos, they brought the Shtei Lechem, and from when they bring the Shtei Lechem, you're allowed to eat the, you're allowed to bring chadosh wheat for a carbon, carbon mincha, for example. So says the Mishnah, Nisloishis Achas Achas, we know the Shtei Lechem, as we just understand, are two loaves. Each loaf is made out of a sarin flour. And teaches us the Mishnah that one loaf is prepared, one dough is prepared, and then the other dough is prepared, and nefes achas achas, and each loaf is baked individually. The lechem upon him, which we speak about, and one may not bake, says the Miches Chinuch, the two loaves together under any circumstances. There were other achrayim that disagree, and they say that the Mishnah is not here to tell us that it must be baked one loaf at a time. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that you may bake it one loaf at a time, but you could bake, unlike the lechem aponim, which we're going to see in a moment, but if you so prefer, you could bake the shtei lechem together as well. Machlokes Miches Chinuch and Sefer Taras HaKodesh. Lechem aponim, which every Shabbos they had on the Shulchan, every week, all week, they had on the Shulchan the lechem aponim, and every Shabbos they would take out the old lechem aponim and put in the new lechem aponim to bake them. We have 12 of them. Nilashis achas achas. They were prepared one at a time. V'nefesh shtayim shtayim. Here too, there's a question in the Achronim. When the Mishnah says nefesh shtayim shtayim, what does the Mishnah mean to say? Does the Mishnah mean to say that you have to bake them two at a time and no more than two at a time? Or does the Mishnah mean to say you could bake them two at a time, but if you so prefer, you could bake them all together as well? Furthermore, says the Mishnah, ubetfus hayoy soyson, the lechem upon him was put into a mold, kshuroidim, and when you take the lechem upon him out of the oven, says the Mishnah, nois latfus, they were put into another mold, kadesh lo kalkulu, because if it's not going to, the lechem upon him apparently was not very big, and it's very a very thin type of loaf, and there's a real concern, says the Mishnah, that if you're not going to put it back into a mold, it's going to break chas v'shalom, and therefore to teach us that we want to avoid that problem, the halacha tells us that we should put it back into a mold. We're going to discuss some of Hashem, why do they have to have separate molds? Says the Gemara. Menani Mili, where do we know these halachas that the shtei lechem are prepared each one individually and baked each one individually? Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us where the pasuk speaks about the lechem upon him. V'lokach the soilus. Malamed, the pasuk, by identifying how much flour we have for each lechem, that the loch is nilashis achas achas, they should be prepared one at a time. Says the Bryce, Menayin she'av shtei lechem kach, how do we know that so is the loch of the shtei lechem, that each dough is prepared individually? Tamaloymer, yeah, that what is the halacha here, but is shtei lechem, yeah, should be the halacha somewhere else as well, and that's you have to bake them, you have to prepare them one at a time. Umanayin, continues the Braisa, that when we speak about the lechem upon him, shefiyosim shtayim shtayim, we bake them two, not like we prepare the dough. Tamaloyma, the pasuk says, v'samtom oisom, that we should put them oisom. Oisom is a loshen rabim, that it should be at least two. Yochel av shtei lechem kein, we would think that shtei lechem also should be baked the two loaves together. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says oisom, strictly by the lechem upon him are they baked together, not by the shtei lechem. Ask the Gemara, haim oisom afikte, we already use that to teach us that the lechem upon him are baked at least two at a time. So how can we say that it's also here to teach us that the shtei lechem may not be baked that way? Imkain answers the Gemara, lemakro v'samtem. There would be enough to say v'samtem. The one word, which indicates that we put both loaves together. Why did the Torah use the word v'samta oisam? Turning something that could be taught with one word into a need to teach it from two words. Shema min hatarti, we learn two halachas, that the lechem upon him needs to be baked two at a time, and only the lechem upon him are baked two at a time, but not the shtei alechem. So the Achronim ask that we have learned many times that the tanner, the oven in which they baked the lechem upon him and the shtei alechem, was makadish everything that's in it. But now the question that comes up is that there's a rule that the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Zvachim, da pei chesom and aleph, and we learned it in our Masechet here, in Masechet Menachos, da chesom and aleph, that a kli shoris does not have the ability to mimikadish something unless we put everything that's necessary. So if that's the case, why would it be satisfactory that you could just put two lechem upon him into the oven? Shouldn't you have to, the carbon, the lechem upon him, as we said, requires 12. So if the lechem upon him requires 12 chalas, you should have to put all 12 into the oven. Says the Karen Ira that indeed, what the Mishnah doesn't mean, and the Gemara we just learned, does not mean that they were baked two at a time. They were actually baked 12 at a time, all 12 together. What the Mishnah means is how they were put into the oven. When they were put into the oven, they were put in the oven two at a time. Says the Migdash David that this halacha, that everything you need has to be put into the kli shoris at the same time, is only by a carbon that requires kmitza. But the lechem upon him, the kmitza, is from the bezichen, from the spoons of levaina, and therefore this halacha that you have to be put into the carbon is not relevant. Other achronim suggest that the halacha that you have to put everything into the tanner is when you're going to be putting in less than a sarin. You can never put in less than a sarin if that's not the whole amount. But if you're putting in the isarin, once you're putting in the isarod, once you're putting in something that is made out of an isarin flour, even though that's not everything that you need to have, it doesn't make a difference. That will be enough to make it satisfactory that the klisharis kimi makadishit. Tanu Rabbanan, continues the Gemara. We just said the pasuk says, v'samtam oisam. Why does the Torah use the word v'samtam? To teach us b'toy chatfos, that we put it into a mold. The lechem upon him are baked in a mold. Says the Gemara, v'shloshet tfusen hain. There were actually three molds there. Nosla tfus v'dani botzik. First they put it into the mold when it was still a dough. Then there was in the oven another mold. Shreida is when they take this lechem upon him out of the tanner, they put it into another mold because, as we learned in the Mishnah, it was so fragile, we're concerned that it got broken. But ask the Gemara, Lahadra Tfus Kama. We understand, as the Mishnah told us, that we have to put it back into a mold to keep it in shape. It shouldn't break Chas V'Shalom. But why do we have to put it back? Why do we have to get a new mold? Why don't we just put it back into the original mold? Answers the Gemara, Kimin the Afalei, once you bake it, says the Gemara, Nafcha, it's going to grow, it's going to become bigger. And even though the Yavit says that the lechem panim was matzah, he says it doesn't mean that matzah doesn't rise at all. Matzah doesn't rise to the sheer, to the size of bread, but it does rise, and therefore after the baking, it's not the same size of as the before the baking, and therefore the halach is that you have to have a bigger tfus for after the baking than for before the baking. So the first issue that we discuss when we learn this Gemara now is what we know the halacha, the Ramah discusses in Hilchas Pesach, what's the halacha, a matzah that has a bubble? And the Ramon Aruchaim Simitov Samach Aleph Sif Hey says matzah and the fucha bem tziyasa. If a matzah has a bubble in the middle of the matzah, a surah, that matzah is asur. Am olala krum kederach shala of a pass b'shas afia. But if it forms some sort of a bubble while it's baking, that he says muteris. The Mishnah Brura explains this halacha that there are two ways of understanding what is a nefucha. One is that there's sort of two layers in the matzah. And the other is that you have a bubble in the matzah. And both of them, says the Mishnah Brura, one should be machmer and not use such a matzah. The Chayk Yaakov quotes the Shar Ephraim that a lot of achronim disagree with this din. Because we just learned in our Gemara that the lechem upon him was matzah, and even though the lechem upon him was matzah, it became bigger when they baked it. That's why we can't use the same tfus after baking as we used before baking. And therefore, they take a much more lenient approach in a nefucha, and their approach apparently is that only if it's so bubbled up that the matzah, this place where there's a bubble, that matzah, the place where there's a bubble, did not touch the bottom of the oven, so it didn't get baked from the oven, that's when we have a problem with a nefucha. But if any part of the matzah that was baked, the halacha is, does not have the din of a nefucha. This is a very interesting discussion, because even if one is machmar on a nefucha, and any type of nefucha, what is the halacha of a nefucha? Does it mean that the entire matzah becomes disqualified, or does it only affect the area of where we have the bubble? Moreover, the Chazon Ish says that the issue of nefucha that the Rama is speaking about only is by matzahs that were not that thin, like our matzahs. But our matzahs, which are so thin, the Chazon Ish takes the approach that there's no problem of nefucha. The Mizgeres HaShulchan on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that yes, there is a consideration that the matzah is very thin, that it should make it less of a problem, but that only solves, that only is spoken about the area around the bubble. But the bubble itself, even on a thin matzah, he says should not be eaten. There's also a question. Our Gemara, Mishnah Gemara, have been speaking about the shtei lechem was made in a tfus. The lechem upon it was made in a tfus. What will the halacha be that regarding the shtei lechem? The Mishnah and the Gemara have not spoken if the shtei lechem was made in a tfus, and it seems to be machloik sachroinim. Taras HaKodesh's opinion is that part of the limud that we're having in the Gemara of Samtam Oysam is here to teach us that there was only by the lechem upon him were they baked in a mold, not by the shtei lechem. Whereas I saw that the Nezer HaKodesh disagrees, and his opinion is that the shtei halechem were also baked in a tfus. The Mishnah taught us that, and the Gemara taught us that they baked it in two separate. First, they put it in a dough into a tfus, and then they put it in the oven in a tfus, and then the Gemara explained they put it into a third tfus. So it's understandable, as the Gemara just finished teaching us, that you have to have a second tfus. You have to have the second or third tfus unnecessary, because as the Gemara explained, the bread starts to rise. But the question that I saw is, why do we have to have a different tfus in that they start with, and a second tfus that they bake the dough in, and a second tfus that they actually bake in? Why couldn't they have used the same? Why couldn't they use the same tfus for preparing the dough and for baking it in? And I saw that the Mefarshim explain that the first tfus in which they prepared the dough had to be a cold tfus. And the second tfus in which they baked the lechem upon him had to be a hot tfus. And therefore, since they had two different purposes, this was to be hot and this was to be cold, they couldn't use the same tfus for preparing the dough and baking it in. When we speak about the lechem upon him, the question comes up, how was it prepared? Rav Chanina Omer, Chanina says, the way it was prepared is kamin teva prutza. It looked like a upside down C. Rav Yochanan, sfin sfinu rakedas. Sfinu rakedas means it looked like a boat, so to speak. Narrow on the bottom and wide on the top. And like Rashi explained, why is it called Sfinu Rakedas? Lohi karle rakedas, shmer kedas velechas maher. So I saw that the Sefer Bamidbar Yehuda, quoted by the Sefer Daf al Adaf, tries to understand why would they make the lechem upon him in that shape. So he explains that we know that the shulchan represents the panosa. A chazal teach us, kashim is a noise of shaladam. Panosa is not easy. Kashim is a noise of shaladam could create yamsuf. And that's why they made the lechem like a boat that's traveling in the yam, to constantly remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us panosa, but it doesn't always come easy, just like the yamsuf. Kriyas yamsuf is something that is unusual. And another pshat that they explained, the Chanina says that the way the lechem upon him was, it was built like a teva perutza, to teach us if somebody wants to have parnasa, it has to be like a teva perutza. You have to have an open door for all your guests. If you will have an open door for everybody, then you will be able to, Baruch Hashem, have panasa. Says Mar Bishlam Amandam Kimin Teva Prutza, according to the opinion that it was made like a Teva Prutza, Hanei D'Yasvi B'Zichim. We mentioned earlier that in the Shulchan there were two spoonfuls of Levina. And says the Gemara, now we could understand how the Bezichim were there, that they were all flat, one on top of the other, and since they were all flat, one on top of the other, there's room to put the bezichin in between. Elamand Omer, Kemin Sfinu Rakedas, according to the Mand Omer that says it was like a ship, it was formed like a boat that's narrow on the bottom, Haichavi Yisivi Bezichin, there's no flat surface. Answers, the Gemara Mokim Ovid Lahu. They apparently, this is the way most Mepharshim explain, they made on the walls of the Shulchan, they carved out a place to put the bezichin. The Chazon Ish points out that even though our Gemara is speaking about all of these halachas about how the lechem upon him looked, he says everything that's being discussed in our Gemara is only lechatchila. But he says, b'di'evid, any shape is acceptable. Says the Mar Bishlam L'man Dama Kimin Teva Prutza, according to the Mandom that says there was like Teva Prutza, Hanadav Yossi Kanim, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, there was poles that were put between the breads. And we could understand why it was necessary if it was in the shape of this boat, because they're not steady, they're not sturdy, and we have to have these poles to keep it sturdy. Ella, the Mandom, on the contrary, if it was like a Teva Prutza, we could put the poles in between the breads. But as the Gemara Elman Dama commits in the Rekedes, there was like this boat, Kanem Heichav Yasvi, where do we put them? And says the Gemara, Mursha Ovidlam. In the bread itself, they would make an indentation to put these poles. Bishlam Elman Dama commits Teva Prutza, according to the opinion that it looked like a Teva Prutza, the Sam Chalechem L'Snifim. The halach is that the two sides, the Shulchan, was made up of two rows, and each row had a board on the side, which is called snifim. So if it's straight, we could understand why, how the snifim were on the sides. El mandama commenced sinar kedes, according to mandama, that it wasn't straight. Haychis michlis snifim alechem, and it's the gemara dogle magel. They curved these snifim. Beshlam mandama commenced sinar kedes, according to the opinion that it was like a sinar kedes. Hadn't been a snifim. We could understand, since this is not sturdy and steady, that's why we need snifim. According to the opinion that it was like a teva prutza, so the question is, snifim, lamali, why was it necessary? Why was it necessary to have snifim altogether? They're quite sturdy. Snifim, lamali, says the Gemara, agrav yukrav de lechem, since the bread were heavy, agrav yukrav de lechem talach, because the bread were heavy, weighing one on the other, and as we've been saying throughout our shir, and it was also quite fragile, we have to be careful to keep it in shape. Vishlam lamandama commits sinar kedis. According to the mandama, they look like a sinar kedis. Snif magabas shulcha minachim. We could understand, as we explained before, that the snifim were on the side, touching the bread. Elamandama kementeva perutza, snifim hechem manachlei. Where was there room for the snifim? The bread took up the entire width. Ar manachlo? It says, Duma in. Domarab Abba, it was put on the ground. Domarab Abba Bamamo. The divrei oimer commenced svinar ekedis, according to the opinion that says that the shape of the lechem upon him was like a svinar ekedis, snifim agabah shulchan oimdim. They were put on top of the shulchan. Divrei oimer commenced teva perutza, snifim agabah karkim menachim. They were on the floor. Says the Gemara, Kamana azlohad omer of Yehuda, who does the following opinion follow, that says, halachim mamre snifim, that the lechem is on the snifim, va snifim, that we have all the support, that the lechem has all the support, says the Gemara, command Amar, Svina Rikedes. It's like the mandam that says it's Svina Rikedes, and as we keep on saying, since it was like a Svina Rikedes, we must be most concerned that it should not, that it should remain steady and sturdy. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Kimin Kaveris, that when we look at the Tfus, at the lechem upon him, it looked, it was round, like a beehive, and hoyala betaner, and had in the tana. Daima kementavel mubaz. It looked like a square. So isn't this clearly, asked the Gemara, a riot to Rav Chanina's opinion, that the lechem upon him were in the teva perutza fashion, not in svina rakedis? And so emo, we're talking about the top. The top is squarish, but then it tapers off on the bottom, according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that it looked like a sphinoric edit.